I thought that I would take on
probably more than biting off more than I can chew. There's 14 chapters of Zechariah, and the gist of what this whole book is about. Now, when I went through this, I would look at one section and I'd say, oh man, this is wonderful, you know. And then, oh, this is really wonderful. Well, I'm going to have to fly across a lot of this to cover this. But the gist of the book is Israel's redemption. He is a redeeming God. And the first two chapters are the introduction to this book. He talks about the judgment of the Gentiles, which is really for restoration, not to against Israel. He used the nations to purge out or to chasten the people to try to bring them back to himself. That's what he was doing. And he says in verse 12, the angel answered and said, O Lord of hosts, how long will you not have mercy on Jerusalem and on the cities of Judah, which thou hast had indignation these threescore and 10 years, the 70 years captivity? And the Lord answered the angel and said with me, good words and comforting words, and the angel that communed with me said to me, cry thou, saying, I am jealous for Jerusalem and for Zion with great jealousy. I am very sore but displeased with the heathen, which are at ease. I was a little displeased, and they helped forward the affliction. Therefore, says the Lord, I am returned to Jerusalem with mercies. My house shall be built in it, the Lord saith the Lord of hosts, and a line shall be stretched upon Jerusalem. A surveyor's line. Now, then he goes in and he says, there's four carpenters who cut off the horns of these, and these are the powers. We know there was Babylon, Persia, and Greece and Rome. And they prevailed for a time. But it's God in his sovereignty that controls these things. So they cut off, these were there to saw off the horns. It's part of his displeasure with the heathen that he gives power to chastise his people to bring them back to himself, and yet they carry it way too far. So then in chapter 2, and these are the introduction, what is he doing in his judgment of his people Israel? He is bringing them back to himself. That's the purpose of it. Now he says, and of course purging out the wickedness that's within them. But in chapter 2, he says, let me see, let's go to verse 5. And I, saith the Lord, will be unto her a wall of fire about, and will be the glory in the midst of her. Ho, come forth, flee out of the land of the north, saith the Lord. I have spread you abroad as the four winds of heaven, saith the Lord. Deliver thyself, O Zion, that dwelleth with the daughter of Babylon. And thus saith the Lord, after glory hath he sent me unto the nations that spoiled you, for he that touches you touches the pupil of my eye. For behold, I will shake my hand upon them, and they shall be a spoil to their servants, and you shall know that the Lord of hosts has sent me. Sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion, for lo, I come, and I will dwell in the midst of thee, saith the Lord. And many nations shall be joined to the Lord in that day, and shall be my people, and I will dwell in the midst of thee, and thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto thee. And the Lord shall inherit Judah, his portion in the holy land, and shall choose Jerusalem again. Be silent, O flesh, before the Lord, for he is raised up out of his holy habitation. Now that's the introduction to this book of Zechariah. And many different ways through the book, he shows that he is working to bring about his purpose in the earth and the establishment of his earthly people, Israel. Now, in chapter 3, you've got a priesthood that has defiled garments. Legalism, ritualism, and all that self-righteousness, God says, get rid of that. So what he says here verse 4, take away the filthy garments from him. And unto him said, behold, I have caused thy iniquity to pass from thee, that I might clothe thee with a change of raiment. Then he said, let a fair mitre be put upon his head, as holiness to the Lord across the top. So they set a fair mitre upon his head and clothed him with garments, and the angel of the Lord stood by. And the angel of the Lord protested unto Joshua, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, if you will walk in my ways, and if you will keep my charge, then shall you judge my house, and shall keep my courts, and I will give you places to walk among those that stand by. I believe that this priest, high priest Joshua, is representation of the priesthood of Israel, which the Lord said already that in the kingdom that all his children, the children of Israel, will be priests unto the Lord. And you really see it later on when it says the Gentiles, 10 Gentiles, take hold of the skirt of one that is a Jew and say, we will go up with you and worship the king because we know that the Lord is with you. Now, then you have the servant, the branch. In verse 8, he says, hear now, Joshua the high priest, thou and thy fellows that sit before thee, for they are men wondered at, for behold, I will bring forth my servant, the branch, and behold, the stone that I have laid before Joshua upon one stone there shall be 7 eyes. Behold, I will engrave the engraving thereof, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will remove the iniquity of the land in one day. And in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, the Lord of hosts shall call every man his neighbor under the vine and under the fig tree. There's restoration under the servant of Jehovah. And you know that Jesus is the, he was the servant of Jehovah. He was the branch of, let's see, it says, my servant the branch. He is the man who is the branch, and he is also the branch of David. So you have the 4 Gospels, and you have the 4 different aspects of the branch of the Lord, because you have John, the servant of Jehovah, and here the servant, which would be Mark, and then the branch, that's Luke, and then of course Matthew, the branch of David. Jesus Christ is the one who will be restored here in Israel and in the earth for the benefit of not only Israel, but all the earth. Now, chapter 4, you have the establishment of the light and testimony over all the earth in Israel. Right now, it is in the church of God. But that will come to an end at the rapture, and God will go back to Israel and begin to deal with Israel. And in that first 3.5 years of that 70th week of Daniel, God will establish a 144,000 and two witnesses in Jerusalem, and the gospel of the kingdom will go over the whole world during that first 3.5 years. And it is a time of testimony, and the light of this menorah of chapter 4 is what he's saying there is that he will reestablish his light and his testimony in the nation of Israel among the Jewish people. That whole time of the 70th week of Daniel is a Jewish time. It's the fulfillment of their prophetic time clock. And they will bear that testimony because God will establish it again. Even though many people won't believe, but yet Revelation says a multitude that no man can number will turn to the Lord during that time. Now, in chapter 5, you have a flying scroll. What I believe there is in this flying scroll is the Word of God. And the Word of God will enter into the house of him who is a thief, verse 4. I will bring it forth, saith the Lord of hosts, and it will enter into the house of the thief, and the house of him that sweareth falsely by my name, and it shall remain in the midst of the house, and shall consume it with the timbers and the stones thereof. What I think he's getting at is this purging of sin out of the people of Israel, out of the nation. And there are sins here against man in the thief, and sins against God in swearing falsely. Then he comes in the second half of chapter 5. He talks about this ephah that, and there's a woman in the ephah, and it's a lead container put on top, and it's carried back to Babylon and set upon its base there. I believe that what he's saying here, the gist of it is that the materialism of Israel, he will remove from them because they are not spiritual. They are worldly and they are fleshy and they are earthly, and their purpose of living as unbelieving nation is materialism. He'll take that out of the nation. I believe that's what he's talking about, and take it back to its origin, Babylon. Now, in chapter 6, you've got four chariots, which are the same color as the four horsemen of Revelation. And they mean the same thing. But I believe that what he's saying there is that this judgment of these horses is against the nations. Because he says, in that they walk to and fro throughout the whole earth, verse 7, that they might walk to and fro throughout the earth. We know from the Revelation that these four horsemen are going to be a terrible, terrible scourge on all the peoples of the world. But it's necessary to reestablish his people to himself. We know that all the judgments that fall upon the world and the people, you don't have it in great detail in Zechariah because the main thing he's focusing on is Israel. And then it talks about in the latter part of chapter 6, he says, that you make these crowns for these different men that are named, and out of silver and gold. Well, and then set them upon the head of Joshua, the son of Josedek, the high priest, and speak to him, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, behold the man whose name is the branch, and he shall grow up out of his place, and he shall build the temple of the Lord. That's verse 12. Even he shall build the temple of the Lord, and he shall bear the glory and sit and rule upon his throne and upon, and he shall be a priest upon his throne, and the council of peace shall be between them both. And then you got these others that are also crowned with him, and the memorial of these crownings in the temple. They that are far off, verse 15, shall build in the temple of the Lord, and ye shall know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto you. And this shall come to pass, that if you will diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, this shall come to pass. Chapter 6 is a really wonderful chapter to meditate upon this man who is the branch, because he will set and bring restoration or reconciliation between the priesthood and the king, because he will sit there as a king and a priest and rule and reign over his people. Now, in chapter 7, let's see, I guess I can use my notes. Finally. These people were sent from Babylon to come down, these men, to come to the temple, which they were building there under Ezra, that, and find out if this is the restoration, the time, should we continue to fast in the fourth month and the seventh month? Well, in the fourth month, which is Tishbeah, which is the day in which Nebuchadnezzar destroyed the temple. So they call that day a fast day. They still do it to this day. And then on the seventh month, which is the Day of Atonement, a fast day then. And should we continue to fast? The only thing they don't ask him about the seventh month, the Lord brings that in. Because what he's saying is, when you fasted on the fourth month and the seventh, he includes the seventh month, did you do it unto me or did you do it unto yourself? And when you feasted, the other feast, did you do it to me or did you do it to yourself? And he was saying to them, look, I want to see some righteousness out of your lives. So, and I believe he includes the fast of the seventh month because that was the Day of Atonement. The idea of the Day of Atonement was that they were to come before God with a broken and contrite heart and accept him as their salvation and really with true heart come to the Lord. And the fasting of that feast was repentance, and they didn't do it. So the Lord says, verse 9, thus speak the Lord, execute true judgment and show mercy and compassions every man on his brother, and oppress not the widow, nor the fatherless, stranger, or the poor. Let none of you imagine evil against his brother in his heart. But they refused to hearken and pulled away the shoulder and stopped the ears that they should not hear. And they made their heart as a adamant stone, lest they should hear the law and the words which the Lord of hosts has sent in his spirit by the former prophets. Therefore came this great wrath from the Lord of hosts. Therefore, it will come to pass that as he cried and they would not hear, so they cried and I would not hear, saith the Lord of hosts. And but I scattered them with a whirlwind among all the nations whom they know not. Thus the land was desolate after them, that no man passed through nor returned. For they laid the pleasant land desolate. And we know that took place under Titus, and then Bar Kokhba in 135, he led another rebellion, and that time when the Romans came in, they plowed the ground. They just literally took everything out, and it lay desolate right up till 1948, really, that land. And I remember when Mark Twain went visiting the land of Israel, and he said, look at this ground and how rich it is, and no one's doing anything with it, because the land will lay desolate until the children of Israel inhabit their own land. I mean, it is the hand of God. Now, in chapter 8, we have the Lord's return to Zion in verses 1 to 8. And then the blessings of the Lord upon his people. And the people of Israel, the Jewish people, being faithful to their God. Now let's read from verse 1 through verse 8 of chapter 8. Again, the word of the Lord of hosts came to me, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I was jealous for Zion with a great jealousy. I was jealous for her with great fury. Thus saith the Lord, I am returned unto Zion. I will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and Jerusalem shall be called the city of truth, and the mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, there shall be old men and old women dwell in the streets of Jerusalem, every one with his staff in his hand for very age. And the streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in the streets thereof. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, if it is marvelous in the eyes of the remnant of this people in these days, should it not be marvelous in my eyes, saith the Lord of hosts? Thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, I will save my people from the east country and from the west country, and I will bring them, and they shall dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God in truth and in righteousness. You can see what a loving, compassionate, and forgiving God we have. Oh, he is. The day will be wonder. You know, it says that a little child can play, put his hand in the hole of an asp, and no one will hurt in all my holy mountain. What a wonderful time yet to come. And then let's look at the latter part, which would be verse 20. Thus saith the Lord of hosts. This is chapter 8, verse 20. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, it shall come to pass that there shall come people and inhabitants of many cities, and the inhabitants of one city shall go to another, saying, let us go speedily to pray before the Lord and seek the Lord of hosts. I will go also. And many people and strong nations shall come and seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem, and shall pray before the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, in those days it shall come to pass that 10 men shall take hold out of all languages of the nations, even shall take hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew, saying, we will go up with you, for we have heard that God is with you. What a marvelous day. Now, in chapter 9, actually, that was the one I really got stuck on, because this prophecy in the first 8 verses has to do with Alexander the Great. But it's in here, I believe, because God was showing how he preserved Jerusalem from Alexander's destroying it. It's a marvelous story, because Alexander saw a vision of a priest that showed him that he would conquer and be victorious. When he came He came down the Levant to conquer Egypt. And he was conquering city after city after city. It didn't take very long to take Tyre. Persia couldn't do it at all. But he came on down, and when he came up to Jerusalem, God gave the high priest a vision, said, go out and meet Alexander in your garments of glory and beauty, with all the priests with you. So he went out, and Alexander saw this priest, and it was the priest of his dream. So he bolted out of his army and rode up to the priest, and his army was aghast that he would do that alone, and that priest took him into the temple, shared with him the word of God that showed he would be victorious, and offered a sacrifice to Alexander, for Alexander, and then they agreed they would pay him tribute, and he went on and conquered Egypt, and then when he came back, he passed by without destroying, and it says here in verse 8, then I will encamp about my house because of the army, because of him that passeth by, and because of him that returned. And no oppressor shall pass through them any more, for now have I seen with my eyes. Now I believe it's here because it's something that's yet to take place. But nevertheless, God is showing that he is in control. And if he wants to spare Jerusalem, he said, if everybody on the earth comes against them, they'll be cut to pieces. Against this city, they'll be cut to pieces. Now, the whole chapter of 9 is Israel, is God's defense of Jerusalem and of his people. And the battle bow shall be cut off, verse 10. And then he says, verse 11, as for thee also, by the blood of the covenant, I have sent forth thy prisoners out of the pit wherein is no water. Turn ye to the stronghold, ye prisoners of hope. Even today do I declare that I will render double unto thee. Now, that's not punishment. That's blessing. And then he says, when I have bent Judah for me and filled the bow with Ephraim and raised up thy sons, O Zion, against thy sons, O Greece, and made thee as a sword of a mighty man. Now we know yet that these Greeks, I mean, that's a long story. Chapter 11 of Daniel gives the details of how the Greek Syrians and the Ptolemies of Egypt fought each other, and Israel was the battlefield. And it's a long, strung out, gruesome thing. But God is saying that he's in control of all this. Now, in chapter 10, we have there the purging out of the false shepherds, and the Lord is with them in battle. Ephraim and Judah will be regathered, and the victory over Egypt and Assyria. Now, we know that Assyria was already destroyed. So what he's speaking about is in another day. But that will come in the future, because it's all part of the restoration of the people to himself. Now, he says, verse 3, my anger was kindled against the shepherds, and I punished the goats, for the Lord of hosts hath visited his flock, the house of Judah, and hath made them a goodly horse in the battle. Now, in this chapter, he doesn't say who they're going to be fighting in particular, but they will be an invincible army in the day in which, and that's just for this little remnant which is broken in power. And yet, when you think about it, when does God really step in on behalf of his servants, his children? It's when they come to no power within themselves. And this little remnant that is overrun, and it'll only be a remnant. And yet, the regathering will come. But this little remnant, he will make into an invincible army. Because, and the angel of the Lord will go before them, and they will be victorious over armies that are far greater than themselves. Now, he says in verse 7, they of Ephraim shall be like a mighty man, and their hearts shall rejoice as through wine. Yea, their children shall see it and be glad. The heart shall rejoice in the Lord, for I will whistle for them and gather them, for I have redeemed them, and they shall increase as they were increased. And what he does say, there's going to be a regathering, and a number of the children of Israel will grow to a point where they will say, there isn't even room for us. Give us land. But they will fill the land, and the blessing of the Lord will be with them. Now, in chapter 11, we talked about that today, of the shepherds, the false shepherds, the good shepherd, and it ends with the Antichrist, this Antichrist. Now, chapter 12, 13, and 14 is the final restoration of Israel. And in chapter 12, he says, let's read verses 1 through 3 here. The burden of the word of the Lord for Israel, saith the Lord, I will stretch forth, which stretch forth the heavens and laid the foundation of the earth and formed the spirit of man within him. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all people round about. And when they shall be in the siege, both against Judah and against Jerusalem, in that day will I make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut to pieces, though all the people of the earth be gathered against it. In that day, saith the Lord, I will smite every horse with astonishment, and so on. And then verse 6, and in that day will I make governors of Judah like a hearth of fire among the wood, and like a torch of fire in the sheaf, and they shall devour all the people round about, on the right hand and on the left, and Jerusalem shall be inhabited again in her own place, even in Jerusalem. The Lord also shall save the tents of Judah first, and the glory of the house of David, and the glory of the inhabitants of Jerusalem doth not magnify themselves against Judah. And in that day, saith the Lord, in that day shall the Lord defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and he that is feeble among them in that day shall be as David, and the house of David shall be as God, and the angel of the Lord before them. And it shall come to pass in that day I will seek to destroy all nations that come against Jerusalem. Now, that's what's coming. Because he is jealous over Jerusalem. But the real restoration of them is when that little remnant finally realized that this false Messiah was a false Messiah. And when he flees, then they will believe and understand that Jesus is their true Messiah. And he says, verse 10, I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem a spirit of grace and of supplications, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourns for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one is in bitterness for his firstborn. And then you see repentance and true, genuine from the heart repentance. In verse 11, in that day there shall be a great mourning in Jerusalem, as the mourning in whatever, these, in this valley of Megiddon. And the land shall mourn, every family apart, the family of the house of David apart, and their wives apart. Everyone individually, because it's a hard issue individually. But the house of David, the king, and the family of the house of Nathan, the prophet, and the house of Levi, Levites, and their wives apart, and the family of the house of Shimei apart, that's the priest, and the families that remain, every family apart, and the wives apart. Real, genuine, from the heart repentance. And then it says in the first verse of chapter 13, in that day there shall be a fountain opened to the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, that I will cut off the names of the idols out of the land, and they shall no more be remembered. And also I will cause the prophets with unclean, and the unclean spirit to pass out of the land. Now, go over to verse 6 of chapter 13. This is when the Lord Jesus Christ comes and they face him and see him. He says, one shall say to him, what are the wounds in your hands? And he will answer, those which I was wounded in the house of my friends. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered, and I will turn my hand upon the little ones. Now, I don't know why that's put in there, except maybe so for these people to realize that this one who was smitten and hung on a cross, that one was their true Messiah. And they're looking on him whom they have pierced. And they will know that it was him who was crucified and died for their sins. And it shall come to pass, verse 8, in all the land, saith the Lord, two parts shall be cut off and die, and the third part left therein. And I will bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. And they shall call upon my name, and I will hear them, and I will say, it is my people. And they will say, the Lord is my God. Restoration will be complete. Now, behold, verse chapter 14, the day of the Lord comes, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee, and I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, the houses rifled, the women ravished, and half the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city, and then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. And his feet shall stand that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. And there shall be a very great valley, and half the mountain shall be removed toward the north and half toward the south. And you shall flee to the valley of the mountains, and the valley of the mountains shall reach unto Azal. Yea, you shall flee like you fled before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. And the Lord my God shall come, and his saints with thee, and shall come to pass in that day that light shall not be clear nor dark. It shall be one day that shall be known to the Lord, not day or not night, but it shall come to pass that at evening time it shall be light. And it shall be in that day that living water shall go out of Jerusalem, half of them toward the former sea and half of them toward the hinder sea. In summer and in winter shall it be, and the Lord shall be king over all the earth in that day, and shall be one Lord, and his name one. And the land shall be turned as a plain from Gibeah to Rimmon, south of Jerusalem. It shall be lifted up and inhabited in her place from Benjamin's gate to the place, and so on and so on. And men shall dwell in it, and there shall be no more utter destruction, for Jerusalem shall be safely inhabited. And this is the plague wherewith the Lord will smite the people that fought against Jerusalem. Their flesh shall consume away while they stand upon their feet, and their eyes shall consume away in their holes, and their tongue shall consume away in their mouth. And it shall come to pass in that day that a great tumult from the Lord shall be among them, and they shall lay every one on the hand of his neighbor, and the hand and his hand shall rise up against the hand of his neighbor, and Judah also shall fight at Jerusalem, and the wealth of all the heathen round about shall be gathered together, gold and silver and apparel in great abundance, and so shall the plague be the plague of the horse and the mule and the camel and the ass and the beast that and shall be in their tents. This is the plague. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations shall come to Jerusalem and even go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And it shall be that whosoever shall not come up of the families of the earth of Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, even shall be with them no rain. And if Egypt gets a plague and so on because they don't recognize the King, but he will rule over all the earth with a rod of iron. And it says in that day, verse 20, there shall be bells upon the horses, holiness unto the Lord. And the pots of the Lord's house shall be like the bowls before the altar. Yea, every pot in Jerusalem and Judea shall be holiness unto the Lord of hosts. And all that sacrifice shall come and take of them and seed therein. And in that day there shall be no more merchant or merchandising in the house of the Lord of hosts. That's what Canaanite means, merchant. Never again. God will restore his people. This is the most wonderful prophecy. It is so rich, and you can take every chapter and find so much in it that reflects on, you know, other portions of the scriptures. Shall we close? Father God, thank you for the promise that we have that the Lord Jesus Christ will come and take us to be with himself. And then, O Lord, in all that majesty and glory, when he returns in power and glory, we will return with him, and we will see your righteous, holy hand perform all that you have said you would do, and see this earth filled with goodness and blessing and peace, and just see the wonder of that kingdom when the King of Glory is honored by all. Thank you in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Thank you.